easiest way to remember us is just 99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk.
Live and local. Hi there, John Potter. Here every Saturday, 9 to noon. Well, hello, Elizabeth.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And you brought this big, huge box full of handcrafted gourmet chocolates. It's not for me, but at the end of our little talk here, we're going to give away to two lucky winners each $100 worth of your handcrafted gourmet chocolates.
That is right. And there's quite a assortment in there for them too.
Yeah, what's in there?
I've got my caramels, my salted caramels, and then I tried doing my caramel recipe using honey instead of Karo syrup, so you got a bag of those and a bag of the spiced honey caramels, and then chocolate covered caramels, both in dark and milk chocolate.
Oh my gosh, where did you come from?
Everywhere.
How long have you been making your own chocolates?
About 15 years now.
Oh, and what's your brand name?
My Sweet Indulgence.
My Sweet Indulgence.
Yes.
And how local is your company here?
I'm in Carson City.
You are based in Carson City.
Yes.
Where do you sell your amazing chocolates?
Well, I'm actually a cottage foods baker, so most of it's done out of the home.
Okay, you got the license for that.
And I go into the markets, the farmers markets and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, I'm told that you're going to have chocolates for sale at Hannon's?
Correct.
Okay, well, there's the location for you.
Yes, right there. Is.
Hannon's Estate Diggins on Hot Springs Road in Carson City. Boy, is that store fun, right?
Oh, it is. Yes.
Well, here's the deal. I went there because we had a great interview with them, and they were graciously gave me a $50 gift certificate to get something at Hannon's.
Uh-huh.
So I went out there and I wanted half the store.
I know. Me too.
I couldn't narrow it down to one thing. There were like 18 things. And now 19, because your chocolates are going to be on sale at Hannon's Estate Diggins on Hot Springs Road in Carson City. So, okay. I don't know if you heard this before. Chocolate, Elizabeth, chocolate comes from cocoa, which is a tree, which makes it a plant. So chocolate is a salad.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
You haven't heard that one. Yeah. So the reason why we have $200 worth of your chocolate is you were going to sell your amazing chocolates at this big event, but the event got rained out, and now you're overstocked with this handcrafted chocolates. Is that right?
That is correct.
What got rained out?
Well, it was an event on December 14th through Nevada Hotspot. It was supposed to be a holiday fair market, and the coordinator decided that there was too much snow and she needed to cancel. So I showed up at 8 o'clock in the morning with my son with everything, and she says, well, I'm sorry, the show is not going on.
That's a shame. That really is. Tell us about your handcrafted chocolates. I mean, we know about Dorinda's. That's in Reno. What is there anything that is unique about your handcrafted chocolates, Chef Elizabeth?
Well, I think love is the first ingredient.
Love.
But I do small batches of my caramels, and then I hand dip them in. I use professional chocolates as well. I like the Calibre and milk chocolate. I tend to use the Guittard, Old Dutch brand. And then sometimes I like to make my own little blends with some different chips that go into the chocolate, so that it's not like everybody else's. I hope that you taste a little bit of a difference.
Is it still, what was it, when I was a kid, the fancy chocolates were like from Switzerland.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
I think so, yeah.
Is that the country?
They're Switzerland and Belgium.
Or what do you swear by? Who do you think is the best chocolate maker?
Well, the thing is Calibre will let you go make your own chocolate blend.
What's Calibre?
They are one of the professional chocolatiers out there, one of the big brands. And in fact, three of my four chocolates I use is from them. I use the dark, the white, and the ruby chocolate from them.
Describe the taste of the Calibre and how they're different.
So, well, there's different levels too. They have different blends. They've been in business for a very long time. I probably should have known that when they were established, but I don't. And they're just the chocolate that I prefer. The coating, once you temper it, it's nice and silky and just leaves a nice.
How many different varieties do you have of your handcrafted chocolates?
Basically, what I've done is I've dipped my caramels in dark chocolate and milk chocolate. So there's those two varieties, but then each of them also have a salted chocolate variety, salted caramel chocolate, or just traditional that I adorn with edible gold leaf.
Elizabeth, I'll never eat a Kit Kat again.
They are addictive.
What is it with salt and caramel? I mean, it's an amazing combination.
It really is. It really is. And the funny thing is I started out selling just the traditional caramels at the farmers markets in Colorado. And people said, well, you should salt them. And I called my kids and Kelly goes, oh, yeah, I just put salt on it myself. I'm like, why didn't you tell me? More people actually prefer the salted caramels to traditional. But me, I like the traditional.
I could have sworn I saw a bottle of salted caramel vodka.
Probably.
No, I did, because it was next to the, it was a Smirnoff whipped cream vodka.
Oh, dear.
And next to it was a Smirnoff, salted caramel vodka. I ran out of the store screaming. It's, my goodness. Okay, well, listen, honest answer from you, please. What is your, and yours is the best, right? Yours is the best.
Of course.
But what is your preferred, favorite, store-bought, mass appeal chocolate?
I would have to go with the Rocher ones, the hazelnut in the middle and the little creamy milk chocolate. And they're the gold wrapped ones. I'm probably
see how fancy
the hazelnut
you are.
Rochers.
No, I'm talking like between Hershey's or Cadbury's.
I like Cadbury eggs.
All right, so you're a Cadbury person.
Yeah.
Okay. The Cadbury eggs.
Yes, when they come around
quack,
Easter.
Quack. Commercials, yes. Are you, so you're into the flavors that some add to chocolate, okay? So chocolate, in my day, it was either milk chocolate or dark chocolate. By the way, whatever happened to white chocolate?
It's
I don't
there
see
too.
White, no, I don't see it anywhere. Where's the white chocolate? I used to love white chocolate.
I do too, and I've got white chocolate in my peppermint bark that's dark chocolate, white chocolate,
oh,
and peppermints.
Right. They use it for peppermint. Bark.
So
okay, different varieties. How many dozens basically is what you make? The fancy strikes you.
Yeah. So yeah, I've got the dark chocolate, white chocolates, and then I also tried a. I make a honey caramel. I told you so. I have a pine nuts on the bottom with the honey caramel, and then I put the rosé chocolate, which is a. Basically similar to white chocolate, but it's got a little bit of a citrus flavor on it. So it's basically a turtle, which is pecans, caramel, and chocolate. Can't call them turtles, though. Those are trademarked. So I call them pucks because the molds I used make them look like little hockey pucks.
Turtles are still around? I haven't seen them
for
ages.
Well, they are. They're a favorite. So.
Well, right now dentists are groaning when you talk about the turtles. I never got that stuff off my teeth.
I do my caramel at a little softer set, so it doesn't pull the dental work.
It dissolves.
Yes.
Much better.
Yes.
Oh my!
But it is best when fresh. It won't sit on the shelf for 4 months.
Okay. When is your product for sale at Hannon's Estate Diggins?
It's there right now.
It's there.
So,
right
yeah,
now.
I dropped it off on the way to the show, so she's got it there now. They are closed tomorrow, but they'll be there, I'm sure, Monday and
Do you
Tuesday.
Make any personal? I mean, look at you. You got the chef's outfit on here.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'll do custom orders. And, you know, I can also cook
you do
as
custom
well.
Orders?
Yes. Yeah. I can't do a bag of caramel because it's not really cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you wanted like a party planner tray or something like that, you know, for an event. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to work with you.
Let me see this in your huge box here. this is extremely generous, and this is only because your event got rained out.
Yes. So basically everything's going to be going for $5 a pop.
Look at
that's the almond brittle. That's a favorite right there. Everybody loves the almond brittle.
Okay, and the spiced honey delights. They still sell a bit of honey?
Very similar, but not as hard. Won't take your teeth out.
And
that's what I was talking about, the pine nuts.
They look like cupcakes.
Yeah, so they're kind of...
This is all chocolate?
Well, it's pine nuts on the bottom mixed in with some honey caramel and then chocolate on top.
Oh, you're the devil.
And then they've also got a milk chocolate and a dark chocolate of cashew and pecan.
What's your top seller? What?
I would say the almond brittle, honestly. And then
so you're famous for the almond brittle.
Yeah. I did have 12-pack of samplers where it basically had the salted caramel, milk chocolate covered caramels, and then dark chocolate salted covered caramels, and then dark chocolate caramels. So a mix of all four. And you get three pieces of each, but those sold out pretty quick too.
Now, you were an actual like restaurant chef before you started making chocolates,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Well, I've worked restaurants basically my whole career. I started out front of house waitressing and stuff. And then in 1999, I started working back of house and went to culinary school in Utah, got my associates through UPSC. And then I had the opportunity to work at the Tree Room, Sundance. And
why did you quit the restaurant business?
Actually,
it's
I'm still in it.
It's a tough business right now.
I'm still in it. I just would like to branch out on my own, and I don't have the funds to open my own.
I'm thinking with all these chocolates that you make, you probably got a lot of friends, right?
Yes.
So. Okay, well, let's give away to two winners, each getting $100 worth of your handcrafted chocolates, and the winners will pick up when they bring their phone number and ID and everything. They will pick this up at Hannon's Estate Diggins, where you are selling these handcrafted chocolates at 411 Hot Springs Road in Carson City. Shall we do a text thing where people have to answer a question?
If you'd like, sure.
Okay. This woman's name here, folks. What's her first name?
I'm Elizabeth.
Oh,
Vasco.
No, you gave the answer. Oh,
oops. Oh, I'm silly. Sorry.
Okay. Well, gosh, I'm trying to think of something you said that we can use as an answer.
Okay.
How about we just do it simple? Craig. Craig out there is going to take the name and a phone number of the first two people who text and say, give me chocolate. How about that?
Okay. I like that.
Yeah, that's easy.
Give me candy.
give me candy. Text that. Leave your name, your phone number. We're going to take the first two. Craig will give me the information, and those lucky people will pick up their $100 worth of handcrafted chocolates at Hannon's. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure, too. Thank you for having me.
Oh, yes. You're a joy. You really are. Appreciate it, Elizabeth. Good knowing you, and hang out here so I can give you the names in a few minutes. I'm John Potter, going to take a break. It's Open Topic again, 884-9910, but Craig's busy now, so don't call. He's getting the winners, but we'll be back talking about some stuff going on locally right here on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1119.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
Well, John Potter right here, Saturdays at 9 to noon. Congratulations, Caitlin and Dave, the winners. Each of you just won $100 worth of Elizabeth's fine handcrafted gourmet chocolates. And she has your phone number and last names, and you can pick up. She's on her way now with your prizes. Out there at Hannon's Estate Diggins on Hot Springs Road. That was fun. She came dressed up in a chocolatier's outfit. I wish you could have seen it. That was she is a joy. Here's good news. Thank goodness. that drone talk is over. It's like suddenly everybody lost interest at the same time. But why the government did all of that? Oh, no. Drones? What drones? There are drones? No. We know nothing about it. And it all spread almost into one of those mass hysteria things. So at the end, I hope it's the end of this, right? But it turned out that some people saw maybe some experimental government aircraft. A lot of them were small planes and regular hobbyist drones, but there were a few that, it turns out, experimental government aircraft. And Believe me, there's a lot of that. They do have the testing facilities in New Jersey, and we test experimental aircraft in Nevada at the Mercury Base, Area 51. And to be honest with you, and they don't even try to hide it, I see these weird things flying in the sky overhead at Creech Air Force Base in Indian Springs when I'm driving to Vegas. It's pretty amazing. But the ones we saw in the news, the government wouldn't come forward and say what it was. And they, you know, they played dumb. And the whole thing spread to front page news and all the government has to say. And I'm not saying they should reveal and expose their secrets. Just be forthcoming and say, we are in constant development of new technologies, and we want you to be rest assured that this has nothing to do with adversaries approaching us. There. Why don't they do that? And these new technologies, in my mind, I take comfort in that. I'm grateful that the best engineers are thinking of ways to better protect our nation, better protect our service members, and allow us to inflict pain on our enemies where we need to. But they just need the candor to say, you know, this is a government project, never mind. And if you say, well, no, we can't tip off the Chinese. Listen, the Chinese know. If they're not scanning things from space or have spies looking at this, they assume that we're doing what they're doing. But Nevada has all that wide open space where they, you know, test things. Nellis Air Force Base in Vegas, Creech, north of Vegas, Area 51, this large expanse of the Nevada desert where you're supposed to stay out of, and their purpose is to allow the Air Force to test fly new sorts of aircraft. The very first, I remember this, the very first stealth jet fighter was first developed and flown in Nevada. And people saw this big black flying wing. And I remember all the stories that would come out of this, you know, this odd flying saucerish type thing. What is it? What could it be? Well, it was an Air Force bomber in development. And they were working on it, and that was the story there. And this was the story with the drones, too, I think. But why fool us? You know, these big drones in Jersey, they weren't hobbyist drones. That's too obvious. And just, you know, don't play us for fools. You know, just say, don't worry about it. That's us. That's the good guys, not the bad guys. Sleep easy at night. We got your back. And the whole problem is solved. And that would require, here's the problem, though. It would require honesty and transparency, which for some reason, some politicians just can't wrap their arms around. Let's go to the phones. Joe is calling from Sparks. Hey, Joe, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
John, thank you for taking my call. And before I forget, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Thanks.
You and the missus, I don't know if the kids or anything like that are involved, but
not
anyway,
yet.
Have a wonderful Christmas. But anyway, a couple things. First of all, they had the Chicago Art Institute in Chicago, which was a wonderful place. I mean, if you like art, it was incredible, big and beautiful. Even the building itself was gorgeous. But anyway, I had a cousin who his name was Guido. He worked there. He was a janitor. So he only worked Monday through Friday, so on the weekend they were going to have a modern art contest. He cleaned up on Friday. He forgot to put the bucket with the sponges in the janitor's room, and he left it out on the floor.
I see where this
is going. He came to work on Monday. On a pedestal, they had the bucket and the sponges, and he had a blue ribbon tied around the bucket. And amazing.
It won a prize. As an
it won a prize. It did. Yeah, the modern art. That's great stuff.
See, I told Ann Wolf from Nevada Museum of Art the story of somebody who dropped their reading glasses, and the reading glasses were on the floor of the art museum, and people gathered around it, and they thought it was a devastating art piece, and she didn't believe it, I don't think. I don't. And I also heard the story where people thought the wall clock at the art museum was an exhibit, and they were taken. They were taking pictures of it, and to them, it was just brilliant work. So I just, you're backing me up. These are true stories. I appreciate it.
These are true. Yeah. I wouldn't lie to you. I used to play a doctor.
Okay, my friend. Thanks anyway, for the call. Yeah.
No, wait. I want to get down to
you're
something.
You're just getting started. Okay.
We'll talk a little. I hate to talk politics because I hate it. But anyway, my wife said something to me the other day, and I thought, geez. That does make a lot of sense. You know, they have, is it the 25th Amendment where the president can't continue because he...
I believe so, you know, yes.
Whatever it is.
Over 8 years.
She said to me, listen, you know, I everybody notices Biden's condition, and now he's made all these pardons. She said, was he capable of the judgment to make pardons? Could it be now, even after he's out of office, could somebody take him to court or take the procedure to court and say, look, this was done by somebody who was not able to make a reasonable judgment? Because when I look at it, there's a woman that stole $53 million in the state of Illinois. She's out, and I don't know if they got the money back. I mean, and yeah. There's that crazy judge that was sending those poor kids to prison. Yeah. To make millions, and if somebody does something like that,
listen, Joe, he probably doesn't even know. I mean, the number of pardons was what, over 1,000? These are donors who send in names for donations or to the party, and they get put on the list, and they're pardoned, is what it sounds like to me. How can Joe Biden know over 1,000 people who have been misjudged or whatever? And now, I believe, you know, in it used to be what, a dozen? I think Nixon did like a dozen pardons. Or how did it get to the point where it's over 1,000 people?
1,500. Yeah.
1,500. Okay. Well, anyway, Joe, I appreciate your call. I do have to break for Fox News. Have a great day, my friend.
So nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too, my buddy. Fox News. We'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to talk to Sonny from the Trump Store after Fox News. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk. Time 11:31.
99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter, live and local. I just went through, I'll tell you, we had a lot of people trying to win the You Are Crafty certificates, and we had a ton of people trying to win the chocolate. I'm just going through all the texts. We did have winners. I really appreciate all the people who do listen and sent tons of texts. And buried in the texts were some responses to some of the topics I was talking about. Some person writes and says, we were talking about Big Lots closing. They say, in addition to Big Lots, Party City. Yes, we did talk about that. Party City just announced that they were closing all their stores by year's end. So, yeah, I did cover that. And somebody wrote about Farmore, because I was talking about how Big Lots and Sparks look like the last days of Farmore. Stuff all over the place. And somebody wrote and said, as I recall, Farmore was basically a Ponzi scheme using shoddy bookkeeping to inflate their stock price. If not a Ponzi scheme, at least a house of cards. Well, I'll tell you what, may be true, but I loved Farmore. Oh, my God, the price is amazing. I used to rent videos there all the time. And we had one in Reno for about 3 years back in, I think, 1992. Something that's going to last a lot more than 3 years, apparently, is the Trump Store in Minden, I believe. It's Sonny Nelson on the phone. Hey, Sonny, or are you Gardnerville?
I'm Gardnerville.
You're Gardnerville. Okay. That's right. You're by Woodette Steiner, too, aren't you?
Yes. Right next door. Also next door to the craft place that they didn't mention, but I'm in the building right behind Woodett.
Okay. Now the thing is, well, the last time we talked to you on the radio, it was before the election, and you told me that. I said, Sonny, what are you going to do with that store after the election? You said, I'm going to keep it open. I mean, really? And you are keeping it open for obvious reasons. It's popular and people are going to it. So tell me about how the store has been the last couple of months.
Since the election, my sales are steady, but it's about half of what they were before the election. My lease ends January 31st. I haven't decided if I'm going to extend it or not. I actually put the business up for sale, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Sonny's Trump store is for sale. Boy, if I listen, I'm tempted, but if I bought that, Sonny, my wife would kill.
Yeah.
I live with a liberal. What can I say? Tell me about some of the new products you have at the Trump store. Because last time we talked, I was at the store. But how many Trump products there are out there?
A lot. I mean, I have Trump out the front switchblades. I have gold and silver coins. I have bumper stickers. I've marked a lot of stuff down. Like, I have my bumper stickers are now a dollar. All my flags and hats are half price, $10 until they sell out. I have dark MAGA hats. I have the green Never Surrender. I got beanie hats. I have T-shirts. Even my cowboy hats are $10. I'll bundle and work deals. I'm trying to sell as much as I can and also make people happy. I don't really have anything going on for Christmas, so I might even open up for Christmas so I can make some sales and help people out with some Christmas gifts.
No, no Trump Christmas merchandise. Well, tell what is the dark?
I have a lot. I have Trump Christmas ornaments. I have Christmas cards. I have Christmas fireplace banners. I just got a brand new Trump calendar. I have the white privilege cards. I have the official race suppress cards. I got lots of things. I have high capacity magazines, switchblades, $10 butterfly knives, all kinds of stuff. I'm here to make deals if anybody wants any Trump stuff. Also, if you want to be a new business owner, you could take over the business. I'm actually going to look for a good high-paying job with benefits and retirement and pension. So that's my goal. But who knows? I might stay open. I can renew my lease or go month to month. So who knows
what
will happen.
Well, for now, it's open. And people, if you might be closing at the end of January, so people get out there, get your Trump merchandise. Now, what is the dark MAGA merchandise you mentioned?
It's a black hat, but it says Never Surrender on the side of it instead of the 45-47. It says Never Surrender. Also, the flag is just, the hat's only two colors, where my other flags have the American flag in color. Also, I have 500 white MAGA hats. The 45-47 with the American flag, and I'm actually selling those for $5 each. So if anybody wants some good deals, they're only $5. They're all embroidered. I have 500 of them, so I just want to sell them all.
All right. Well,
and who knows? Maybe I'll be here and have new stuff. I'm constantly looking for new merchandise, and I do have fun being here. So we'll see.
When you say fun being there, it's from the people coming in. Tell me about some of the people that have been coming in the store that you met.
Yeah, I've met a lot of nice people and everything else. It's been fun. A lot of people are happy, even young kids when they come in here. It's kind of nice to see that. And tourists take pictures of my A-frame sign out front and everything else. So it's definitely neat seeing all the people in here and meeting people and talking to people. So it's been fun. I've made some new friends.
Mm-hmm. You can't miss it, folks. You're driving down 395 in Gardnerville. If you're going from Minden to Gardnerville, it's on the right side. You see the sign there. As I said, it's by Woodette's Diner, and it's upstairs, I believe. What are your hours, Sonny?
10:30 to 6, Monday through Saturday. However, I'll probably be open on Sunday. Or I try to be open every day because I'm not really doing anything else, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So you're calling.
I do enjoy buying and selling classic cars, so I kind of want to do car things again or get a high paying job because I feel I can make a lot more money than I'm making now working for someone else. So anybody who's met me in my store think I'd be good, and they have a good opportunity for a job. I'm open.
Okay. Sonny, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Is there a sale going on at the Trump store on certain discounted, discontinued items in the Trump store?
I wouldn't say discontinued, but actually any hat or flag you want is $10, including my cowboy hats, the dark MAGA hats, beanie hats, my T-shirts are normally 30. I'll go down to 20 on them. I just got calendars. I'm willing to work deals if people come in. My bumper stickers are a dollar. I got Biden, Harris, or Obama toilet paper. Those are $5. I got Keep America Great fanny packs. They're only $5. So I got lots of affordable gifts. I have Trump playing cards, Trump shot glasses, Trump keychains, Trump drink cozies with the hair. I got gold and silver pins.
Drink cozies with the hair. Okay. All right. Well, I'm curious, what price would you accept to sell the Trump store? How are you going to price it, my friend?
Probably around, I don't know, because I have like probably 7,000 in inventory that cost me that can probably turn into, maybe around 15 grand. With all inventory.
15 grand, the Trump store is for sale, folks. 15 grand. Okay, Sonny.
Or if you got a muscle car, I'll trade it for a 69 Camaro or something else.
All right. A fair trade. Very good, Sonny. Anything else before we go?
I'd just like to say thank you to everybody who's came to my business and everything else. We've done in five months, we've done a little over $50,000 in sales. So that's all local taxes going to Douglas County. So it's been fun and supporting Douglas County. So that's pretty good tax amount for a new business and everything else. So I just like to say thank you to everybody and Merry Christmas to everybody.
Well, if I don't talk to you again, Sonny, it's been a pleasure. You're a good man. You're not one of these angry political types. You're just a fun, decent guy. He sells fun merchandise. Trump cozies with hair attached. Where else can you buy it but Sonny's Trump Store? Sonny, have yourself a great holiday, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, Merry Christmas. Sonny Nelson, the Trump Store, and he's there right now. He was talking from the Trump Store in Gardnerville, 395 up above, I think, what it's diner. I'm John Potter, live and local. 884-9910, number to call. And speaking of which, I haven't mentioned Trump once. And there's things to say about his cabinet nominees and about the passing the bill to fund the government for 3 months. We averted a shutdown. So that's up next, unless you can think of something else to talk about. I'm wide open. 884-9910. We only have one more segment, though. I'll be back in a couple of minutes on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk Time, 11:47.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News. Talk. Truth.
So why do people say tuna fish sandwich? Nobody says chicken bird sandwich. Oh, are we on the air? Oh, I don't mind the redundancy. It's the random application that sets me on edge. I'm John Potter. 51 degrees, our current temperature in Reno, and a very, very windy from what I see outside the window. And this, December 21st. It's the shortest day of the year. Winter arrived in the Northern Hemisphere, that's us, at 1:20 a.m. Pacific time overnight this morning. Our sunrise was at 7:16. We get 9 hours, 28 minutes, 12 seconds of daylight. Don't you dare miss any of it. And oh my gosh, our sunset today, 4:39 p.m. But the exciting thing is that we start gaining longer days. We get 3 more seconds of daylight tomorrow. But the weather is a mixed week of wet to snowy days, especially in Tahoe. It's an anything-can-happen condition in the mountains. So be prepared for the chain control possibilities throughout the week. And keep it here on this station because we update you several times an hour on traffic, of course, in the morning and the afternoon, middays. A more significant snowstorm is coming in late next week, possibly starting on Thursday, which, of course, is the day after Christmas. As you heard on Fox Radio News this morning, after days of negotiations, the House passed a bill to fund the government for 3 months and avert a shutdown. They did it hours before the federal filing deadline. They play this game every single time, don't they? The Senate approved it after midnight, and President Biden plans to sign it if he hasn't already. This funding plan was nearly the same as the one the House rejected on Thursday. It includes relief for storm-damaged areas and aid for farmers, but it does not have Donald Trump's demands for a debt limit increase into the new year. Trump had insisted that a debt ceiling increase be included in any deal. Some conservative members said it could lead to excessive government spending. You think? And you know, cuss me out if you will, but I remember when we Republicans believed it was wrong to raise the debt ceiling without structural changes to spending. I think it was yesterday when we believed that. But I guess if you still believe it today, well, my gosh, you're a rhino, and you're going to get primaried. As for Donald Trump's cabinet nominees, they may just all make it through Congress. Bobby Kennedy Jr. was at the Capitol this week speaking to senators to bolster his nomination. He has some unique views, and this is not a God almighty position, health and human services. There are a lot of checks and balances and opinions before he gets to pass any policies. A lot of people want to just focus on his views on vaccines. He doesn't focus exclusively on vaccines, but it seems the news media, that's what they do. And I believe personally in the concept of vaccines. The concept, you know, when I was a kid, there were lots of diseases that were doing a lot of damage that have been gotten rid of because of vaccines. His major concern is testing. What harm can modern vaccines do? Where Bobby Kennedy also brings a lot of energy is to the issue of what we are eating. What is our food supply like? What's really in it? The food dyes he talks about, that's an important issue. We use chemical dyes. Other countries use natural dyes. There's something going on. We are fatter, maybe duller of mind. Our sperm count is down. Our infertility rates are up. Autism is up. We are, it seems, mental illness-wise, increasingly dysfunctional. There is a softening of what it means to be a man, as reflected in testosterone levels and in behavior. What is going on with us that is leading to these changes? I mean, it's not genetic. Our grandparents, who have the same genes, were very different. And so you have to look at the environment, the chemicals in it, and what's in our food and drink. And I think Bobby Kennedy's interest in tracking down the why behind these changes, I think that's worthwhile. If maybe we could do some science to see if what Bobby Kennedy Jr. is saying is true. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. And here's one other thing about Bobby Kennedy Jr. He's like 70-some years old, and he's in better condition than you or I. This guy can drop and do push-ups like nobody's business. So, yeah, the sky is not falling. He's going to be a great Secretary of Health and Human Services. I'm not a big Pete Hegseth fan for Secretary of Defense, but I think that as things stand now, I think pretty much all of Trump's nominees are going to get confirmed and probably should. The one bottom line is that while we look at resumes and what people have said and done and everything, one very important consideration is, who does the president want? You got to give the benefit of the doubt to the person who in the election got the most votes. And Donald Trump isn't even in office yet, and he's already having a major impact. The threat of tariffs, that's a very powerful strategy, especially when it's wielded by somebody who knows what leverage is all about. He proposed tariffs on China, Mexico, and Canada for many reasons. The first one being that they've been taking great advantage of us economically and criminally. They've looked the other way as fentanyl and illegal immigrants have flowed unchecked across the border. Trump is also threatening Europe with tariffs unless they buy more U.S. oil and gas. Canada, I grew up in upstate New York, and I'm well aware of how Canada has long punished all the farmers, the dairy farmers especially, placing their own huge tariffs on the farmers' products and putting several farms in upstate New York into receivership. And now Canada's government is in shambles after Trump's tariff threats. You know, the Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau suddenly losing his grip on power. I say his downfall can't come fast enough or hard enough. I'm out of time. I could go on another 15 minutes about this, as you know. It's been fun. I really enjoy doing this every Saturday morning, and I'll be back 9 to noon. Craig, thank you again for another awesome job. All I do is sit here and talk. You do the hard work, and I appreciate that. Folks, a sincere Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to you again next Saturday, 9 to noon. My name is John Potter on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 11:58. Bye-bye.